Welcome to the jungle. A tremendous Monday to you. My name is Jim Rome. Hope you had an amazing weekend. It is great to have you here. Great to be here. Lots to get done. Let's not waste any time. This show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, so I had Friday off. I was in Wisconsin. I will tell you about that a little bit later on. But let's get right to this one. Telephone number is toll-free. If you know what you want to talk about, if you want to get into the Kentucky Derby, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, I've got some baseball I want to hit on too. Call me right now. It is officially smack-off season. The countdown is on. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we go to our go-to guy for Thoroughbred Racing, SI Senior Rider Tim Layden. He was at the race, and we will get his thoughts, and I will give you my thoughts in one moment. Second hour is open right now. Coming up in hour number three, the GM for the Denver Nuggets, Arturas Karnišovas. Great story, great background with him. And that's coming up in the third hour. Again, do not wait on me. Hit me right now, 1-800-636-8686. Because I was in Wisconsin over the weekend, I have not shared my thoughts on the Kentucky Derby until right now. So let me start with this. Before I get into what happened at the Derby on Saturday and give you my thoughts, I need to be fully transparent about this. As many of you know, we have a racing stable, Jungle Racing. This is not a huge operation, but we do race, we do breed, and we own some retired racehorses. On top of that, and in no way does this influence my take or how I see this, but I do want to be fully transparent about this. Some of the people that we are closest to in this business, Thoroughbred Racing, are involved with the winner, Country House. L&J Foxwoods is Jamie Roth and her parents, and they are very good friends of ours. They're partners. We do business with them. We own horses with them. We have other projects with them. The Roths are big, big players in that sport. The Roths and we share the same bloodstock agents, Alex Solis and Jason Litt, who also happen to advise the other owner of Country House. And the other owner of that horse is Guinness McFadden and his family. Guinness has a farm in Kentucky, and he has one of our retired horses, one of the first we ever bought in Gallatin's Run. So if you follow us, you know the game, you remember that horse. So I know all these people. I do business with all these people. I consider them friends. Good friends. So I want to be very transparent about that. And before any of you try to say, hey, Rome, the only reason you're saying what you're saying is because you're partners with those people and they benefited from the inquiry. Wrong. Don't bring that around here. Don't come with that. I just want to be very transparent about all of that, who we do business with, who we're partners with, and who own that horse. So you know. Having said all that, do you remember when Omaha Beach had to be scratched from the Kentucky Derby and it felt like maybe some of the buzz had gone from the Derby? Yeah, neither do I, because that was the craziest Derby ever. That's not an exaggeration or a bold statement or a hot take. That's a damn fact. If you've been living under a rock for the past week or so, here is how the finish went down.
Maximum Security continues to lead the way. Midway on the far turn, he's a length and a half in front. War of Will is second. Long Range Toddy third, and four wide and moving up is Country House's Booty Express plummets through the field. And here comes Code of Honor, and he bursts through an opening on the inside of Maximum Security, and they're into the stretch. Country House on the outside. Code of Honor down toward the rail. Maximum Security keeps on fighting. War of Will is there too as they come to the final furlong. It is Country House on the outside. Maximum Security, so dead game. He keeps battling on. Maximum Security. Country House 1-2 down to the line. Maximum Security wins the Kentucky Derby. And then it was Country House second, followed by Code of Honor third. And in behind them, Master Fencer, who was closing.
All right, so that's an absolutely amazing moment. Maximum Security goes from running in a $16,000 claiming race in December to winning the Kentucky Derby on the first Saturday in May. Amazing. Except that was not the finish, because instead of the results going official and Maximum Security going legend, it went to a review. Two of the jockeys, Flavian Pratt aboard Country House, and John Court, who had been riding long-range Toddy, claimed that they had been fouled by maximum security. So then everybody waited in the rain, in the mud, and they waited, and they waited. And then finally, nearly 22 minutes later, you get this.
Yes! They disqualified it.
They did. So for the first time in the history of the Kentucky Derby, the horse that crossed the line first has been disqualified. After the objection, Country House wins the Kentucky Derby with Flavian Pratt at 65-1.
You think you should have stayed up?
I don't know.
Maximum security taken down as the winner. Country House moves up and wins the Kentucky Derby, and it's absolutely insane. For the first time in 145 runnings of the Kentucky Derby, the winner was taken down. And as you can imagine, fans at Churchill Downs and online went ballistic because of all the money that was riding on that. And then you want another kick in the junk. Not only did Maximum Security get taken down as the winner, he got bumped all the way down to 18th behind the lowest horse that he impacted. So that cost him, that group, that owner, nearly $2 million in purse money, and who knows how much more potentially in the breeding shed. And his owner is none too happy about that, which I'll get to in a minute, because I know the feeling. I was involved in something similar to that. But let's go back to Saturday really quickly. There are so many people that only watch horse racing one day out of the year, Derby Day. So many people that only bet that sport one day out of the year, Derby Day. So what happened during that race is extremely confusing to people who don't know and don't watch that sport. I get that. You would not believe how much time and money I spent before I finally started to get a really good feel for the game itself. So there was a lot of confusion after the race. Let me try to clear some of that up for you right now, although some of you do not want to hear this. But as usual, racing got some of that right and they got some of that wrong. In terms of the decision itself, they got that right. They got the decision right, and it took a big brass set to do it. The horse that finished first had never been taken down in the Kentucky Derby. And now, judging from the reaction, you can see why, right? Not to mention the stakes involved. Again, that decision cost the owners of that horse nearly $2 million in prize money, and who knows how much more money if the horse goes to the breeding shed as the winner of the Derby. Not to mention all the millions that were lost by those who bet on that horse. That said, the stewards got the decision right. It was the right call. Here's why. Maximum Security, the horse that was running up front, crossed over multiple lanes and clearly impeded and interfered with multiple horses, mainly War of Will and Long Range Toddy. Clear as day, if you see the replay. And it did impact the outcome of the race. It might not have been intentional. The horse may have been spooked by the crowd or something else, but in this case, intent really does not matter. There's no doubt. The horse veered out multiple lanes or paths, interfered with, and bothered other horses. Not the eventual winner, but others, and it impacted the outcome of the race. Listen, nobody ever wants to take the Kentucky Derby winner down. And believe me, I've been in a similar situation with Shared Belief in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to take the Kentucky Derby winner down, but in this case, the stewards got the decision right. That's a foul. And if it's a foul on a Wednesday in Kentucky or anywhere else, it's a foul on the first Saturday of May in Kentucky at the Derby. They got that right. They got it right. But they got a number of other things wrong. The call was good, the execution was not. As an example, based on what happened and how it was obvious to anybody who knows, the stewards should have immediately thrown inquiry up on the board, but they didn't. And the only reason is because an inquiry is because there were two jockeys who did. That's the only reason why they had it. But they should have done it themselves, and they didn't. And I'm not sure why that is. They didn't do it except to say maybe they didn't want to be involved in the outcome, or maybe they didn't want controversy on the biggest day. I don't really know, but they should have done it themselves. See, the problem is, with all these angles and all that contact, very clearly the inquiry was in order and the steward should have done it. And the fact that they didn't is all kinds of wrong. Bad optics. Makes them look bad. And so is the fact that They did not take questions from the media after it happened and only had one official come forward with a 106-word statement. Given the nature of the outcome, given the amount of money that changed hands as a result of this, you got to be a hell of a lot more transparent than that. Somebody's got to stand up and explain the decision and answer the tough questions. Again, right call, bad execution. And then the next thing is now, where do you go from here? Because that's not the end of that. The owner of Maximum Security, Gary West, is really unhappy. Really unhappy about it. He now says he's not going to run his horse in the Preakness, and he's going to file an appeal with the State Racing Commission, and I'm not sure I would rule out possible legal action as well. I understand why he's upset. Our group was in a similar, I'm not saying the same, but a similar situation with the Breeders' Cup Classic in 2014. Shared belief. A horse that we owned in a partnership was the top-ranked horse in the world, the favorite in the Breeders' Cup. A race, by the way, that has a bigger purse than the Kentucky Derby. If Shared Belief wins that race, and he was the favorite, that's a ton of dough. He wins the 3-year-old Horse of the Year award after winning the 2-year-old Horse of the Year award, and then he's a lock for the Hall of Fame. So big time stakes. If you remember that race, you know where I'm going with that. If you have not seen that race, you should dial that up right now. Go find the race on YouTube. 2014 Breeders' Cup Classic. Byron comes out of the gate, smashed into Share Belief, and not only that, but hammered another horse that was the speed in the race that we were counting on to set up the pace for us. Smashed into both of us. Then about 100 yards later, Share Belief got hammered a second time by a horse named Toast in New York. I could have argued interference. A lot of people were pushing me to argue interference. Even some members of our own team were saying, come on, man, say something, do something. But I didn't. I sucked it up. And get this, Share Belief, despite all of that, finished an unbelievable fourth. And two of the horses that finished ahead of him, he had beaten head-to-head already. And the eventual winner was the one who smashed into him. So I've been there. No, it was not the Kentucky Derby. And the thing that Gary West has that we didn't have, Share Belief was a gelding. So he was not going to go to the breeding shed. But I would argue that for us, and it felt like this to us, the stakes were just as high. We lost a ton of money that day. Our horse got banged up that day. You know, my take of that day was there's racing luck. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's bad. That day it sucked. It was hard to do. I sucked it up. He apparently is going to go a different direction with it. You know, two different situations, two different guys. He's angry. Don't get me wrong. I was pissed. By the way, I'm still pissed. But he's saying, we're not going to run in the Preakness. We're not having that. We're not running. He's actually saying he may not run ever again. So where do you come out on this? Did you have money on that? Do you think they got it right? Do you think they handled it right? If you were Gary West, what would you do with the horse? Or would you run him back because you want to make your point on the track? And one more thing about the horse that got elevated to the win. It wasn't like they took the horse that finished in 18th and gave him the win. That horse ran its eyeballs out. That horse was in second and got elevated to first. This is really convoluted. It's complicated. And especially if you don't follow the sport. But if you want to get into it, we can. I've got the NBA playoffs, the NHL playoffs. I've got some baseball. I've got some stuff off the board. Lots to get to. And Tim Layden coming up next. Mother's Day is coming up. And there's absolutely nothing most of us wouldn't do to make sure that these special moms in our life are happy. You want to take care of mom. Mom took care of you. You want to take care of mom. Mom takes care of your kids. Come with the right thing. Sherry's Berries is what you want to do. Sherry's Berries has special Mother's Day berries designed just for mom. And these berries are amazing. I would buy these long before they ever became a sponsor on this program. Sherry's Berries are topped with chocolate chips, pink shimmer sugar and swizzles, and you can choose your delivery date to ensure that mom gets your gift of Sherry's Berries exactly when you want her to. And your satisfaction is always guaranteed. Do not wait until the last minute on this one. Go to berries.com right now to order freshly dipped strawberries starting at $19.99 for the moms in your life. To make mom really happy, you can double the order for only $10 more. Mother's Day is coming up fast. Sunday, May 12th. Visit berries.com, B-E-R-R-I-E-S.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Enter my code ROME. Berries, BERRIES.com. Hit the microphone, hammer the code Rome. Get that thing off your list. Berries.com, promo code Rome.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. So I spent the entire Open on the Derby. I still have more thoughts on that, but I'm joined right now by somebody else to help break this whole thing down. He is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated. He is an NBC Sports essayist. He is a friend of the program. He is back. Tim Layden is my guest. Tim, thank you so much. How are you?
I'm a little worn out, but good, Jim.
I would imagine, Tim, what a weekend that was. I mean, there was so much for you and I to talk about. It's almost hard to decide where to begin. But if we go back to Saturday, what were you thinking, Tim, when you saw Maximum Security, a former $16,000 claimer, hit the finish line first?
He was kind of a wise guy horse all week, Jim. A lot of people, smart people, watched him train and said, you know, it's not the miracle that he's here as a 16 claimer. It's a miracle that he ever ran as a 16 claimer. Horse has got great action, looks super good. There were a lot of smart people that thought he was the horse to beat in the race, so that part wasn't shocking.
All right, so when did you first know that something was up?
Not till I watched the race in the paddock with Baffert, because he had three horses in. I figured there was maybe a 25% chance he'd win it, so it's a good place to be. We were leaving the paddock to go out and interview the connections of Maximum Security to see if he won the race, and we heard Travis Stone, the public address announcer, say that there's been an objection and the race is unofficial. That's maybe 2 minutes after they crossed the line. So, you know, right then we knew something was up. And you know, watching the race in real time, you knew that something rough happened, but something rough always happens in the Derby. Couldn't see how bad it was till you saw the head on, which was probably 4 or 5 minutes later for me.
Tim Layden is joining us. You know, Tim, we had an inquiry ourselves when Shared Belief won the Pacific Classic, so I know how nerve-wracking that can be. Everybody watching at home had a sense of what it was like to be at that track during this one Saturday, but what's it like to be there in real time and see that thing play out? What were those 22 minutes like?
I mean, it's like nothing else that you can cover, because if you're covering a bad call or a controversy in some other sport, you're sitting in a press room or a press box waiting for an announcement, and the principal players are somewhere else. In this case, I got out to the track, and I was standing next to Bill Mott, and I was standing next to Jason Service and Luis Saez and Flavien Prat, and you're right in the middle of it. You're part of the story, and you're standing in mud up to your ankles, and the rain is falling, and the time is going by, and every minute seems like an hour at that point, because, you know, you've been at the track. Usually these things come down in, a you know, 3-4 minutes, and 22 minutes was a long, long time. And as it went by, like Jason Service said to me, when it gets this long, you've got an idea that it's going to go against the horse that's being claimed foul against. But it was wild. And as a journalist, at the same time, the clock is ticking, and you're thinking, now I got to get back to my laptop and write a story that's a whole lot more complicated than one I thought I was going to be writing.
No, it certainly was that, too. Tim Layden is joining us. Tim, is there any doubt in your mind that the stewards made the right call?
Not in my mind. And respect to the people who disagree, and there was a lot of money bet on that horse, and I put up a quote from Baffert this morning where he said the Derby is always a rough race and you can't do this. For me, you know, the aha moment for me came when I got out on the track and I'm not sure what's going on, and then the replays are up on the big board, and anybody who's been at the track knows that they put up all the angles. And the first time they showed the head-on shot where you're looking up from the finish line to the turn, as the horse is straightened out, you could see Maximum Security come over. I wrote three paths and maybe 10 or 12 feet, but it could have been more than that. And if you're looking straight up the stretch, it looks like he goes straight sideways toward the grandstand. And, you know, to me, with enough time spent at the racetrack, I agree with the people that said if that was the third at Los Al on a Wednesday, that horse would have come down before they got back to the finish line.
We're talking to Tim Layden. That's my take. Tim, I think that if that's a foul on Wednesday at Los Al, or that's a foul Wednesday at Kentucky, then that's a foul on the first Saturday in May. You don't swallow your whistle there. Let me ask you this. Why do you think, we know that the two jockeys initiated the inquiry, why do you think the stewards did not do so themselves?
Well, that's a great question, Jim, and it's a question that all of us had Saturday night in the press area at Churchill when we were told that the stewards would give us a statement, but they would not take questions. And the question I would have wanted, I mean, there's a couple questions I would have wanted to ask them. Number one is, were you getting ready to hit that inquiry light before the jocks claimed foul? And if not, why the heck not? Because it looked like, I mean, from their viewpoint up above the track, they had to see that something wild happened on that turn. And the second question would have been, to what extent were you thinking about safety and what might have happened behind that collision if War of Will and Tyler Guffalione, the jockey, hadn't kept that horse on his feet with everything that's happened in horse racing this year? Because, I mean, it might have just been a fall with a sore shoulder and a sprained ankle, or people could have died and horses could have died, and that's no exaggeration.
No, Tim, that is no exaggeration. And then I can't even imagine where that would leave the sport should that have happened. You know, you mentioned him. I'm curious, like the one got the worst of that, but he did not file an objection. Why do you think that is?
I haven't talked to Tyler yet. Nobody has that I know of, or not at length. We talked to Mark Cassie, who trains War of Will. And his take on it was that by the time Guffalione got off the track, he was pretty shook at what had happened. And Cassie also gave this weird explanation that he thought, you know, it's not – I think the bottom line is they thought in those minutes – because, as you know, a jock has to claim immediately.
Right.
In fact, the claim of foul in this race, the first claim was lodged by John Court, who told the outrider that he was going to claim foul as they were galloping out all around the turn. And I think that what Cassie, the trainer of War of Will, the one horse, and Guffalione, the jockey on the one, both thought was that the stewards would put up the inquiry light immediately. They didn't think they would have to claim foul. As it turns out, somebody had to, or there would have been no investigation at all.
Hey, Tim, I was going to say, what if? All right, so what if everybody thought, I'm not going to claim foul, they're just going to put it up, and then they don't put it up? What kind of conversation are we having right now?
Oh, I've had a couple trainers say to me that, you know, if they didn't take that horse down, nobody's talking about this race. I disagree super strongly with that. I mean, I think maybe initially that's the way people would have reacted, again, because that horse was, you know, at 9-2, he was the second choice, so millions and millions of dollars bet more on him than Country House. So maybe that would have been the initial thing. But once that head-on shot gets out and people started seeing replays of War of Will's front feet in between the legs of Maximum Security, I mean, I think there would have been blowback, you know, later that night or the next day. I mean, that would not have gone... It would not have been ignored. There's just no way. And it's just astounding to me that the stewards didn't put up an inquiry light. And in fact, Jim, we were told yesterday, Bill Mott, who's a trainer of Country House who won the race, he had to tell his jockey, Flavian Pratt, to get on the phone with the stewards because his other jockey on his other horse said something really nasty happened out there. I think that horse has got to come down. So it was really a whole bunch of really serendipitous things fell into place to even change the result of the race.
God, it is so wild and so complicated. We've got Tim Layden for a few more moments. You mentioned Bill Mott. You know, Tim, it's not obviously a way you want to lose the Derby, and I'd even argue that it's kind of a strange way to win the Derby. And I've been very transparent about this, Tim. I know all the connections. When I say that, I do business with the connections, and I want to make sure that everybody knows that so they don't think that my opinion is colored. But the owners of this horse, we are partners with on other horses, and Alex Solis runs that group. So you talk to Bill Mott. How does he feel about this? Like, he finally won his Derby. He's a Hall of Famer, but how does he feel about that win?
What he said yesterday was, I feel bad for myself, for Flavian Pratt, for the owners, that I have to apologize for winning the Kentucky Derby. But he said, I'm not sorry for winning it because I feel like the call was right and the right thing was done by the stewards. But it's just a really weird way to win the Kentucky Derby. And something I wrote and Bill said also is, people are going to be talking about this now for long after we're all gone, and not necessarily for all the right reasons, but that doesn't change the fact that the right thing was done. And that was Mott's stance, and he said it on the track before they announced the decision. Same thing you and I were just saying. If that's the eighth race at Aqueduct in January, that horse is down. And he feels that a standard has to be applied to the Kentucky Derby as well, even though Baffert and some others have said to me that, no, it can't be in the Derby. It's a different kind of race, and you got to let it go.
All right, so that's Mott's reaction. What about Gary West, the owner of Max Security? He's saying already, I'm not going to run in the Preakness. He wants to file the appeal. He's making noise about not ever running again, period, and getting out of the game. What do you make of his reaction?
When we first talked to Gary after the race, he was pretty much saying this is the way the game goes. He's been in it a long time. I think people got in his ear and started telling him that he should do something. And also he asked the stewards at Churchill to see the replay and hear their analysis, and they declined to meet with him until Thursday, which is when they go back to work at Churchill, which I feel bad about, because I think that if the stewards just sat him down and said, here's what we saw, here's why we did this, we're sorry, you're good for the game, but this is the right decision, I think he might have walked away at that point. And he's going to wind up walking away eventually, Jim. I mean, the last time someone did this was in 1968, when Dancer's Image got DQ'd for a drug violation, and his owners fought it for 5 years and then ran out of money and walked away. You're not going to beat the house on this one. He can afford good lawyers, but the language is pretty clear, and the foul is clear. So, I mean, I feel bad that it's going to go on. I don't think Gary West is going to get out of the game. And I hope he doesn't. He's good for the game. But it's unfortunate. But he's going to lose this one.
Tim, I know how that goes, because when Cher Belief got slammed into coming out of the gate, you're in shock when it happens in real time, and you try to process it, and then as time goes on, you're right. People do get in your ear. People get in your head. People are telling me, why are you saying nothing? Why are you doing nothing? Why don't you do something about this? So I can see how that goes. A final thought, you know, it's quick for those who don't really know. Tim, they rush in and they say, oh, there you go, another black eye for the sport. Now, Todd Pletcher spoke to you. He's got a vested interest in the sport, but he thinks this actually might be a positive for the game. What did he say to you, and do you believe that?
Essentially, he said it was the biggest stage and an incredibly tough decision for those stewards to make, and that's why it took so long, and that's why they seemed like they were incredibly nervous when they talked to us. But what Pletcher said is, on the biggest stage in sports, unlike some other sports, we got it right. And the obvious comparison is the Saints-Rams game, where they didn't get it right and had no recourse to correct it. In this case, and they've been using replay in racing, as you know, Jim, for decades. It's not a new thing. And Pletcher's view was, this is painful, this hurts, nobody wanted to see this, very tough on the stewards, but under incredible pressure in what is by far the biggest horse race in the United States, we got it right in the end. And also, Jim, again, the safety thing cannot be overstated, because if we're talking about dead horses and seriously injured humans today, that's a much blacker eye than whatever people might be saying right now.
Tim, I'm not sure. I mean, let's be really honest about this. Had that happened like that, I'm not sure what's left of that sport in this country. If something like that happens on that big of a stage, then I don't know where that leaves you or us or any of us. You have to maintain the safety and care in that case. He is a senior writer for Sports Illustrated and NBC Sports essayist, a friend of the program. Tim, you've done it a long time. I know you've had some crazy weekends. That one's got to be right near the top. So I really appreciate you coming on this morning.
Yeah, great, Tim. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Tim Layden. All right, so we spent the first half hour on the Kentucky Derby. I never thought that I would say that. The first half hour of the program on the Derby itself, I've laid a lot of that out, and you got his thoughts. Now you tell me, especially those of you who only watch horse racing one day out of the year. When you saw that, what did you think? How'd that go for you? 1-800-636-8686. We are open until hour number three, unless we add somebody. Again, Mother's Day is coming up this weekend. I'm going to hammer this all week long. Do not forget to thank the real pros this Mother's Day. Where would you be without mom? I want to say this once again. Where would you be without your mother? Where would you be without the mother of your kids? Where would you be without any of these moms? Pro Flowers lets you choose from a variety of bouquets and unique vases that suit every mom's style. You simply select the delivery date that you want. Pro Flowers carefully packages your flowers and delivers them fresh from the farm. And express delivery means that the flowers stay fresh. Right now, you can get one dozen assorted roses for $19.99. Double the roses, get a premium vase for only $9.99. An additional $9.99. A dozen more and a premium vase for only $9.99 more. Visit proflowers.com, hit the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, enter my code ROME. Proflowers.com, click the microphone, hammer the code ROME. I've already done it. Please do it yourself. You'll be happy you did. Mother's Day is May 12th. You're running out of time. Order like a pro. Get this amazing rose deal. And thank all the moms in your life.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Monday is an ATP day. It's where you clones get to ask me a question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros. Ask your question there. Listen later on. I might answer yours. And think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. All right, a couple of things. You know, for weeks after that Rams-Saints game, in fact, even to this day, a lot of you were furious about the replay issue. Like, how do you not get it right? How do you not get it right? You've got the technology. Get it right. It doesn't matter how long it takes. Get it right. Get it right. Get it right. Well, it took 22 minutes, and the stewards got it right. You know, back to what Tim Layden said about Todd Pletcher, Pletcher said it's actually a good thing that on the biggest stage in all sports, with all that pressure, they took their time and they got it right. So for all of you that continue to hammer away about what a grave injustice that was with the Saints and Rams, and it was, well, why are you so mad now? Because you bet this horse? I mean, what is it? It can't be both. You want to get it right. They got it right. Now, again, the execution was not right, but the call was right. They got it right. This email says, "Dear Jim, it's writ. It's writ.
It's lit."
The email reads, "You went to Wisco, dripped in David August threads. Why didn't you just wear an oversized bowling shirt like everybody else? Unwore beaks in morbid obesity, looking like Mark Schlereth with a blood pressure issue. Perry on Wilshire and Bundy." Damn, Perry could not be any more proud of where he is. Wilshire and Bundy. You know, not L.A., not even West L.A., Wilshire and Bundy. All right, so that's true. I did go to Wisco, dripped in David August threads. And also, I'm not going to lie about this, I sweated that for about a week. Like, what am I going to wear? It's resort chic. There were a couple of main events. The Friday night, and the reason I was there was I was there at the behest of Greg Gard. He's the head basketball coach of Wisconsin. And he and his wife have an amazing fundraiser. It's Guarding Against Cancer. He lost his father to brain cancer like I lost my father to brain cancer. So we had that connection, and he asked me if I would come be the keynote speaker for the event on Saturday night, the Kohl Center. Saturday night, the theme was resort chic. So I'm looking around for a resort chic, and I've got no idea. I've got no inspiration. I call my man David August. I said, "David, well, I'm running out of time, man. Can you bail me out? I need resort chic." He said, "I got you. I got you. Don't sweat this, Jim. You know I got you." And no, I didn't show up in my electric purple blazer while everybody else was, quote, wearing bowling shirts. There were some bowling shirts. There were some Tommy Bahama. We all did what we did. It was an absolute blast. Absolute blast. And there's way too many people to thank, but the folks doing the work at the Carbone Cancer Center are absolutely amazing. And my man Kelly Call was not there, but I would not have been there without Kelly Call. And we've got a million new friends in Wisconsin. We had a great, great night. That's why I was off on Friday, because we were at their house, and that was an amazing event. But I might have been dripping in David August gear, but not everybody wore bowling shirts. There were a few. Hey, Jim, welcome back. When I hear the words maximum security, the first thing that comes to mind is not the horse, but where Garrett Ritt looks like he came from before joining the XR4TI. Mike in Buffalo, cuffing him. War Beaks being referred to as the Angry Whopper instead of cakes in Studio Chinny. The Angry Whopper. So two things have jumped the week. My man Garrett. My man Garrett. It's Ritt. He's the new guy. He's still here doing a good job. And by the way, booked Bob Myers for the podcast. So Garrett's getting it done. He's Ritt.
It's lit.
And cakes in Studio Chinny jumped the week. Except this guy's arguing that he should be the Angry Whopper.
The Angry Whopper.
Hey, Rome. I've watched horse racing for many years. What happened Saturday at the Derby was appalling. I have seen horses basically knock other horses into the infield and get away with it and cause them to lose their race. Signed, Bob Baffert. Matt in Poland Springs. Hey, Rome, how did you just open the show with the Kentucky Derby and not mention me? Signed, the guy with the white hair. Wes Preble tweets, glad the Kentucky stewards got it right, unlike California stewards who cost you a chance in the Classic with shared belief. All right, so again, there's this thing called race riding, where it's all just part of it, you know, the way you ride your horse. It's like rubbing is racing. But this is not, in the Derby, you've got 20 horses. There were 19 this time. There's going to be contact. That's the biggest field in North America. There's always going to be contact. But rubbing his race in is not the same thing as what Maximum Security did. Again, he veered out. He impacted other horses. It impacted the outcome of the race, and that's why they did that. Let's go to the phones. Appreciate you all waiting. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Charlie in New York. It's good to have you, Charlie. How are you?
Hey, Jim. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I've been following the Derby since the 60s. And I've seen many incidents, at least as severe as what happened on Saturday. I mean, he moved out two or three paths coming around the turn. But, you know, in a race when you have this many horses, this is going to happen almost. I can think of many, many Derbies where at least as much of interference happened, and nobody was taken down. And not only that, he was far and away the best horse in this race, you know. And it's not only because I keyed him in all my triples and supers, but nevertheless, I feel that he should have been stayed up there and won the race.
All right, Charlie, I appreciate that. And I really do appreciate that. I don't agree with it, but I appreciate it. Hey, this whole notion that he was far and away the best horse in the field is neither here nor there. He may have been. He may have been. But the best horse doesn't always win, especially if he commits a foul. The best team doesn't always win. He may, in fact, have been the best horse in the field. But that, to me, is just not relevant. And this whole notion that, yeah, I've seen much worse. I've seen much worse. Also, that, to me, is not a reason to leave him up there. If that is a foul, and I'm going to argue that's a foul. You said it yourself. He crossed over three paths. He interfered with or impeded or bothered other horses. It literally impacted the outcome of the race. I know this is confusing for a number of you. I know, especially if you don't follow the game and you bet that horse, you don't want to hear it. But almost everybody within the sport that didn't have a vested interest would tell you that that is a foul. That's a foul Wednesday at Los Alamitos. That's a foul on a Thursday at Aqueduct. If it's a foul any other place, any other time, it has to be a foul on the biggest stage on the first Saturday in Kentucky. You do not swallow your whistle and, quote, let the players play. Let the horses run. We understand there's going to be contact. We understand that it's a rough race. It's the Derby. But you can't commit a foul. That was over the line. 1-800-636-8686. Do you think they got it right or do you think they got it wrong? Again, I'm going to say both. They got it right, but they handled it wrong. And again, I'd love to know why they did not immediately flash inquiry on the sign when it was over. Because if nobody protests that, two jockeys did, but if for whatever reason the jockeys just assumed they'll handle it, and then that thing didn't go up, then this thing doesn't play out like that, and we're not having the conversation. It's the steward's job to do that. And I'm not at all clear why they didn't, except to say maybe they didn't want to have an outcome or an impact on the outcome. Or maybe they didn't want the heat. Or maybe they didn't want the controversy. Or maybe they were hoping it would go away. But when you've got 50 cameras on that thing in every single angle, there was no way not to see that. How could they not know when that went down? And more reaction to my trip to Wisconsin. All right, so we've got all that. I also want to talk about the Lakers. LeBron finally coming clean on what he thinks about Magic just up and quitting. And notice LeBron did not give us that content until he saved it for his own show. Never mind that that show has been in the can since not long after Magic pulled the ripcord. But now we know why Magic pulled the ripcord, so Magic could go on Twitter and spit some of the fire that he did over the weekend. All of that is still ahead. Dodgers, Padres had an amazing weekend, which I will get to also. Lots of ground to cover. Arturas, Carney Chauvis, Denver Nuggets GM coming up in hour number three. Second hour is open right now. I want to talk about Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi getting nice. And apparently Kawhi getting weird, according to one heckle. All that coming up. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Hour number two straight ahead.